Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, hear God's word. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you to let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that a man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And then in Matthew chapter 4, please, the first four verses in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had lasted 40 days, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." May God be pleased to bless to us the reading of his word and give us grace as we take a short time now to look into it. The great 18th century theologian Jonathan Edwards wrote in one of his journals that he desired to search out all of the thoughts and desires of his heart to determine their origin. And a few days later, after entering into this process, he again wrote in his journal, "I am beginning to discover the depth and the breadth of the depravity of the human heart." And he did that by looking into his own heart. And as you look into your own heart this morning, what is it that you discover? I would trust that it would be at least two things you would discover. First of all, if you do indeed profess Jesus Christ as Lord and have tasted of the good things of the life to come, as you look into your own heart, you discern, I trust, that the basic attitude and inclination of your heart is that which is turned toward Jesus Christ. You love him. So that's one thing. But as you look into your own heart, you also realize that that love is not pure and it is not complete. It is not perfect. And you realize that you do sin in many ways and at many times. Let's be honest about it. I'm in that category too. And the wonderful thing is, when we realize our hearts and the content of our hearts in this regard, we understand that we can repair to Jesus Christ, who is the one who never committed a single sin, but kept all of God's word and God's law perfectly. He kept covenant perfectly, and he kept covenant for the likes of you and me. And that's the great lesson I want you to get from our text this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 8, as we look at these first three verses in Deuteronomy chapter 8. That in the end, Jesus Christ is the one who kept covenant, and he kept covenant for you. As we look at our text in Deuteronomy chapter 8, you should realize that the people of Israel are at the end of their 40-year journey. They are on the plains of Moab, and they are able to look across the Jordan River into the promised land. And they can see the hillsides and the places which God has already described for them, which are lush and green. And they are, with great anticipation, waiting to go over into that land which God has promised to them. And as they are waiting on the verge of Jordan, prepared to cross the land, God comes to them once more to renew his covenant with them. And this is what the book of Deuteronomy is all about. The word Deuteronomy means second law, and it is a second law rehearsed before the people by God, and it is a law for the people. Many of the other laws which have been given by Moses, particularly in the book of Leviticus, are laws for the priests. But now there is a law which is more specifically rooted and grounded in the lives of the people. People like you and me. And so God is coming to them to renew his covenant with them as they are preparing to go into the promised land. And you ought to be able to get a hold of what's going on with those people, because this is what God is doing with you week by week as you come together. God is calling you together week by week to renew his covenant with you, so that his word is read before you. And you say, like the people of old, well, when the covenant was first inaugurated in Exodus chapter 24, you remember what took place there, do you not? The covenant was rehearsed, and the people responded, "All that the Lord has said, we will do, and we will be obedient." Well, that was the profession, and we have said words like that. We have committed ourselves to God. But of course, as we look at our own hearts, as I've said, we do falter. We realize this is the case. And so God, in his grace and mercy, comes back and renews covenant with us. And week by week, he does that with you. And in a more preeminent way, God periodically renews his covenant with you as you gather together to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And his body and blood are portrayed before you. And you eat and drink. You eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And you pledge yourselves anew to follow the covenant. And Jesus Christ pledges himself to you. And so that's the situation on the edge of Jordan, as the people are ready to go back into or go into the land. And we read then in verse 1, as this covenant is being renewed, "All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers." God was not reneging on his promise in any way. He was giving this land to the people. And God will not renege on His promise to you and to me. You too will inherit the great promise of the life to come in heaven. You too will cross the verge of Jordan at one time and enter into that final rest which God is pleased to give to you. And on your journey toward that rest, God has been pleased to give to you His Word, just as He gave those people of old. Look again at verse 1. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to you and to your forefathers. God gives His Word to you as the means by which you are to live before Him. And it is not a legal system which God has given to the people of old, and it is not a legal system which God has given to you. He has given you His Word so that you have in your hands and in your hearts the way to show Him and to show those around you that you genuinely do love Him and you genuinely do love your neighbor. You remember what Jesus said? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so what is the keeping of the commandments of God? It is, friends, an expression of love. And when you bear that word in your heart and you express it in your life, you are walking in the love of God. And that's exactly what God was calling the ancient people to do. And God promised in His covenant to dwell among the people and to be with them so that they would have not only an external law to follow, but that law, by the power of His Spirit, would be written in their hearts and written in your heart. And you are therefore enabled by the grace of God to walk in it. Well, God doesn't take us, and He didn't take the people of old immediately into the promised land, and He doesn't take us immediately into our promised land. Some of us would think, well, when we become Christians, it would be nice. Boom, let's just go to heaven and skip all of the things that we have to do and that have to transpire in this life. Well, that's not God's plan. And that's not God's purpose. Let's read on in our text. Verse 2, you shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that He might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. Well, we remember the story, you remember the story, that the people of Israel came out of Egypt and they sinned against God, and God kept them in the wilderness for 40 years. And there was that long wandering period in the wilderness. But now in Deuteronomy, God gives those people, and He gives you and me, one of the reasons, one of the preeminent reasons why He kept them in the wilderness, and why He is pleased to keep you and me in this life the way He does now. It was for a testing. A testing. Look at the text again. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that He might humble you, testing you. Testing, testing, testing. And the test is not negative. I think too often we look at these tests that come along in life, and some of us look at these tests and examinations that we had in school and have in school as negative. And there are those in the educational system today that would like to do away with testing because they think it's negative. No, it's not negative at all. It has a very positive purpose. And what is the purpose? Well, again, our text. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that He might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart. Now, this is a little curious. The great God of all, who knows all, says in this text that it was for the purpose of knowing what was in their hearts. Well, you know full well that God already knew what was in their hearts, and God full well knows what's in your heart and in my heart. He doesn't need special exercises here from His perspective. And so what is He after? I submit to you that God is after revealing to us, to those people of old and to us, what the content of our hearts actually is. You remember when the people first came out of the land of Egypt? They grumbled. And you'll find this story in Exodus 17. I commend it to you. Go back and read it later. The people grumbled and they complained because they had no water and they were thirsty. And the root of the test was this. They were asking the question, is God with us or not? And God said, I'll show you that I'm with you. Moses, take the rod that I've given you and you go over here and you strike the rock and water will come out. And so he did. And this was a proof that God was indeed with them. And for 40 years, God stood with them and gave them manna. And He gave them meat from heaven. And He proved time and time again that He was with them. And lo and behold, at the end of the 40 years, and you'll read it in Numbers chapter 20, after Miriam had died and shortly before the death of Aaron, at the end of that 40-year period, they then grumbled once again about not having water. And this time, God said to Moses, you go over there and speak to the rock, and water will come out. And you can imagine Moses was not a little exasperated after 40 years of grumbling. And in his exasperation, it seems, he took his rod and he whacked the rock once and he whacked it again. And water came out. And God was a little displeased with Moses at that point. But the point here is that God was with the people. And the testing was for this purpose, to show the people the content of their own hearts. And in large measure, friends, that's what life is about for you and me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul warns us that we should take heed to the people in the wilderness and remember what took place there. And he likens what took place in the wilderness to our life in the world today. And I think that's the appropriate connection. And when you understand that, and when I understand that, you understand that the trials and the testings that you go through today and the trials and the testings that I go through today are not just thrown out there randomly, but God has a specific design for you and for me. And the design is that you should begin to see and that I should begin to see the content of our hearts and what's actually in the depths of our hearts. And we should be like Jonathan Edwards, who as a young man would go out into the forest and contemplate the things of God and examine the sin in his own heart. And he began to realize, I'm not such a good boy at all. And I could say the same thing. I'm not such a good boy at all. God knows. And so there's a genius to the testing that God gives. As we look further in our text, we find the content more specifically of the testings that God gave to the people in the wilderness. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna that you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that a man does not live by bread alone, but a man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. What is God teaching you and me? That as you have a vocation, and you labor day by day in that vocation, and you do so in order that you can go to the store and buy bread and milk and bacon and meat and eggs and lettuce, that that's not the end of the purpose of your life. And studying and reading this word is not the purpose of this life. You know, as Christians, I think often what happens to you and me is that we get caught up in the beauty and the wonder of studying the Word, and studying the Word becomes an end in itself. And that ought not to be the case, because studying the Word of God is intended to lead you and me to God through Jesus Christ. And we are to live out the Word of God in this way. And so the Scriptures are pointing you and me in this direction. That a man, you notice, does not live by bread alone, but lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And God is giving you His Word to teach you to live for Him and to direct you to Him. That's His purpose. And so as you properly follow the Word of God, you will daily be led to Christ. You will daily learn to live for Christ. You will daily learn to live to the glory of God genuinely, not just as an end in itself. That was the problem of the Pharisees. That was the Galatian heresy. But friends, what does happen to you and me? As we live in this life and get caught up short, thinking that, yes, I'm following the Word of God, and we pat ourselves on the back, and then we're caught up short. When we look into our own hearts, and you look into your own heart, you realize, no, I cannot live perfectly by this standard as Deuteronomy exhorts me. I cannot follow that Word of God adequately. But then we realize, you should realize, it is Jesus Christ who lived adequately, who lived properly, not as an end in itself, but for you and for me. Turn with me now, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4 and look at this text in Matthew chapter 4. Notice the connections with Deuteronomy. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Here was another wilderness experience. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, here was another period bracketed by 1 and 40. 40 years in the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. You would understand that, wouldn't you? 2 or 3 hours for most of us, and we become hungry. And the devil comes to our Lord, verse 3, and the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. You're so good and you're so great, and you have a word that is able to transform things. Speak to these rocks and turn them into loaves of bread." And what was the response of our Lord? But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And in essence, our Lord Jesus said to the devil, "No, devil, I understand your trickery. I love my Father, and I will not follow your word. I will follow the word of my Father who is in heaven. And I will keep covenant with my Father who is in heaven. And I will do so because in my heart there is an inclination to embrace Him and to embrace His Word. And I will follow it perfectly. I will live it out in my life. And Jesus Christ was not combating the devil by simply quoting Scripture back to the devil. The devil knows the Bible better than you do and better than I do. Jesus Christ was committed to His Father in covenant. And Jesus Christ said to the devil, "No, I know the words in Deuteronomy earlier. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength. And I do. And I will follow His word and I will live for Him." And where you failed, and where the people of old Israel failed, Jesus Christ did not fail. Jesus Christ bore, yes, the demands of the covenant fully, completely, and He did so in that wilderness where Israel failed and where you often fail. He completely, utterly, and fully succeeded. And He did so for the likes of you and me. And so when you remember Jonathan Edwards and that little exercise through which he went as a young man, and you look into your own heart and you realize, "Lord, I have failed and I have sinned." You turn to God and you say, "Thank you. Where I fail, my Savior, Jesus Christ, did not fail. But He kept it all and did it all for me." Let's pray together. Father, thank You. Thank You for the lessons that emerge out of the Bible in the Old Testament from Israel that are so applicable to us. And thank You for Jesus, who is indeed our covenant keeper, the one who did it all and loved You and loves You preeminently. And where we fail, He succeeds for us. Thank You that this is indeed the case, and we can revel and glory not in ourselves, but in Him who is the fullness of all that we need and all that we can ever hope for. And so we thank You for Him who is in every way our covenant keeper. Hear us, accept us, and carry us forward, we pray, in His name. Amen.